And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. My name is Michael Lindenbaum.
And I'm Haley Williams, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland.
The Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And Haley, today is April 12th, which means two things. Two things. One, the regular season's over, and we got three games we got to do. And two, tomorrow the playoffs start.
All right.
How excited are you for the Blackhawks?
Really excited. Maybe a little bit nervous for them, though.
Yeah, we have our reasons, but we'll talk about that a little bit later when we do the Western Conference preview. But first, you actually do have a game for the Blackhawks when they took on the Columbus Blue Jackets for their regular season finale on April 9th.
Yep. So the lineup for the forwards were Andrew Ladd, Andrew Jardine, Richard Panik, Artemi Panarin, Dennis Rasmussen, and Patrick Kane, Brian Bickle, Tuvo Teravainen, and Dale Weiss, Brandon Machinter, Marcus Kruger, and Tomas Fleischmann. On D, you had Victor Svedberg and Brent Seabrook, Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Christian Ehrhoff, Eric Gustafson, and Michael Roosevelt, and in net, Corey Crawford. In the first period, Chicago got a goal only 9 seconds in by Patrick Kane from Panarin and Rasmussen. Columbus got a penalty at 11-12. Nick Foligno for tripping. Followed by a power play goal at 11-25 by Panarin from Kane and Seabrook. Another goal by Panarin unassisted at 14-06. And then another penalty at 19-11. Savard for slashing for Columbus. In the first period, Chicago was already up 3-0 with 8 shots on net, and Columbus had 10 shots. Faceoffs won by Chicago 9-8. Hits won by Columbus 13-3, and Chicago was 1-for-1 on their power play. The Blue Jackets got off to kind of a slow start, and the Blackhawks were able to jump all over that. The first goal, 9 seconds in, Panarin was able to set up Kane and then scored 2 of his own to put the Hawks up 3-0. So that was huge for them in the first. In the second period, Chicago had a penalty 50 seconds in, Seabrook for tripping. Columbus got a goal at 6:29, Hartnell from Wenberg and Saad, who is also a former Blackhawk, I must say. Columbus goal at 12:55, Matt Calvert unassisted, his 11th of the season. And Columbus got another goal 17 minutes in, Saad, his 31st, from Wenberg and Hartnell. So after the second period, it was 3-3. The shots in favor of Columbus, 18-13. Faceoffs, 18-17 Columbus, and hits, 22-6 Columbus. Chicago was 1-for-2 on their power play, and Columbus was 0-for-1. But they did respond with 3 of their own in the second. Saad completed a pretty passing sequence with his 31st of the season, extending his career high and tying it at 3 with 3 minutes left. In the third, Columbus got a goal at 3:09, Alexander Wenberg from Hartnell and Murray, his 8th of the season. Columbus got a penalty at 5:35, Calvert for roughing. Patrick Kane got a goal for the Hawks at 9:49 from Kruger and Seabrook. And then 3 penalties by Columbus, 16:29, Foligno for interference at 17:42, Savard for slashing in 17:42, Dubinsky, he got a 10-minute misconduct there. And then the overtime, then they went into overtime, Chicago got a penalty at 1:34, Teravainen for hooking, and Columbus was able to win the game there on a power play goal, 2:28, Hartnell from Atkinson and Jones. At the end of the game, the shots were 26-25 in favor of Chicago. Faceoffs were won by Columbus 32-28. Hits 29-10 Columbus. And then on the power play, Chicago was 1-for-5 and Columbus was 1-for-2. In this game, the Blackhawks were without a lot of key players. A few to injuries, and then Keith, he's still suspended. And then they scratched Taves and Jalmerson just for rest before the postseason. The game really didn't mean too much for the Hawks since they already knew that they were going in their seed in playoffs. So, unfortunate loss, but it's still okay because, like you said, the playoffs start tomorrow.
Yep, and it's a whole new season.
Yep.
And, of course, then on also later that night, the Washington Capitals took on the St. Louis Blues, and St. Louis, the lineup for the Capitals. And this is the lineup that you should expect to see in the playoffs for the Caps. Is Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Schmerz with Mike Richards and Marcus Johansson, Daniel Winnick with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. On defense, you have Brooks Orpik and John Carlson, Carl Alzer with Matt Niskanen, Mike Weber with Dmitry Orlov, and Braden Holtby in net. And going into the first period at 1:15 into the first, Vladimir Tarasenko scored his 40th of the season from Alex Petrangelo and Paul Stastny. Then at 4:04, the Caps would respond with Alex Ovechkin scoring his 48th of the season from John Carlson and Nicholas Backstrom, the 31st and 48th respectively of the season. Then at 6:49, Alex Ovechkin would score his 49th of the season from Nicholas Backstrom, his 49th, and also his second assist of the game as well. Then Mike Weber would be called for delay of game at 13:52, and then Mike Richards would be called for tripping at the end of the period. At the end of the first, the Caps were up 2-1, shots 14-6 in favor of the Caps, hits or faceoffs were 14-8 in favor of the Caps, 12 hits were 12-8 in favor of the Capitals. The Caps did not have a power play, whereas the Blues were 0-1, and we're going to get another one to start the second. And then for the first period, it was a very quick start for the Blues, but the Caps responded and dominated the Blues the rest of the period. The Caps need to start the second period strong and continue the way they are playing. Then to start the second period at 5:21, John Carlson would score his 8th of the season from Tom Wilson and Brooks Orpik, their 16th and 7th assists of the season respectively. Then at 8:37, Patrick Berglund would be called for slashing. And then at 10:56, Jason Chimera would score his 20th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and Matt Niskanen, their 57th and 28th assists of the season, respectively. Then at 11:14, Ryan Reeves would be called for tripping, and at 19:38, Jason Chimera would be called for holding. At the end of the second period, the Caps would be up 4-1. Shots were 26-10 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 22-20 in favor of the Caps. And hits were 16-15 in favor of the Blues. Power play, the Caps were 0-2, as were the St. Louis Blues, but the Blues had their third one in progress at the end of the period. This was a very strong period for the Caps. They scored two more goals to build up their lead, and they played their game, and as a result, it caused the Blues to take some penalties. The Blues need to keep up, or the Caps need to keep up with the pressure and continue to play their game. And then going into the third period at 10:35, Alex Ovechkin scored his 50th of the season, marking the 7th time in his career that he has done that. And from Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, their 50th and 25th assists of the season, also marking the first time that in Caps history, that or the first time since the early 90s when the Caps have had two players with 50 assists each, which is Backstrom and Oshie for this go-around. And back then, I believe one was Michael Pavanka, and I can't remember the other one off the top of my head. The Caps would then win 5-1, giving Braden Holtby the record-tying 48th win of the season to tie Martin Brodeur. The shots were 36-20 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 30-25 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 26-19 in favor of St. Louis. And on the power play, the Caps were 0-2, where the Blues were 0-3. This was a great win for the Capitals. After giving up the first goal of the game, the Caps dominated the Blues for the rest of the game. Definitely their best game in the past few weeks because they haven't had much to play for since clinching the President's Trophy. And then, of course, on April 10th, the Caps took on the Anaheim Ducks at home as a makeup for when Snowzilla hit. And the lineups for the Caps were Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards and Tom Wilson, Stanislav Gailiv with Zach Sill and Michael Latta. Defense pairings were Carl Alzer and Matt Niskanen, Mike Weber with Dmitry Orlov, Nate Schmidt with Taylor Chorney, and Philip Grubauer in net. And you know what? It was a throwaway, so I'm just not going to cover the game. The Ducks won 2-0. They clinched the Pacific Division. Good job, Ducks. And it's just, what am I supposed to say? It was like a preseason game. I mean, if you actually watched the Flyers-Islanders game that day, too, they didn't really dress anybody. They were just like, oh, it's a preseason game. All right. Hey, Islanders, can we lose so we can, get the Florida Panthers, but But so instead we're gonna go. How did Mike do on in the DCHL? So Haley,
how'd you do?
We played the Upper Deckers. We lost 4-0. So we're now 0-2 for the season. We still haven't gotten a goal yet this season. I had 2 scoring chances and I had 2 shots on goal. Let's see here. I got called for holding at the end of the game. Like, literally, there was like a minute left when they called the penalty on me, and I'm just like, oh. So my game got ended pretty early, earlier than other players on the team. So it was just bogus, too, but whatever. So we come back. We play the team called House of Bolton at 1:45 p.m. on Sunday. We don't know if it's the House of Michael Bolton. But if so, I hope they sing some Michael Bolton songs, specifically from the Hercules movie that Disney made back in the 90s. I would totally dig some Hercules Bolton songs.
Maybe you can request it.
I think I can. I'll let you know next time we talk. Oh, wait, the next time we talk will be before I play that game.
Okay, so after that.
Yeah, after that recording, yeah, that will I'll tell you. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're actually going to go to break. And with that, actually, next up will be NHL News and Notes. And then, of course, after that, we'll be doing our West and East playoff previews.
Ladies and gentlemen, the MCW Spring Fever 2016 tour is coming to an end on Saturday, April 23rd at the MCW Arena in Joppa, Maryland. Come see Sean Waltman and Billy Gunn in action, plus come see, for a very special engagement, WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. For more information or to purchase tickets to the MCW Spring Fever 2016 tour finale, visit MarylandWrestling.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans. Haley Williams here, and now it's time for the NHL News and Notes.
Which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Summer Glau, Peter Capaldi, Kevin Smith, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com.
On April 9th, despite a 3-2 loss to the Rangers, the Red Wings clinched their 25th consecutive playoff berth, the longest active streak in North American professional sports, and the number 3 seed in the Atlantic Division by virtue of a Boston Bruins loss. Detroit's 25 consecutive postseason trips are tied for the 3rd longest streak in NHL history.
And also on the 9th, Wayne Simmons scored twice, including the game-winning goal at 16:58 of the second period to help the Flyers clinch their 7th postseason berth in the past 9 seasons and the final wild card position in the Eastern Conference.
Some more news for April 9th. Down 2-0 in the second period, Jason Spezza scored 3 unanswered goals to help the Stars clinch first place in the Central Division and the number 1 seed in the Western Conference.
And then on April 10th, yesterday, Monday, or no, Sunday, Pierre Dorion was named the Ottawa Senators' 8th general manager after Brian Murray, citing family and health concerns, stepped down from the role. Murray, 73 years old, will remain with the Senators in an advisory role. He was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer 2 years ago and continues to have biweekly chemotherapy treatments. Assistant general manager Randy Lee and senior advisor of hockey operations Daniel Alfredson will continue to work with Dorion. Dorion, who is 43, has been with the Senators for 9 seasons, the past 2 as assistant general manager.
Center Pavel Datsyuk told the Detroit Free Press in a story published Sunday that he will forego the final season of his 3-year, $22.5 million contract with the Detroit Red Wings and return to his native Russia after the Stanley Cup playoffs because of family reasons. Datsyuk, 37, has a 13-year-old daughter that lives with his ex-wife in Russia. Datsyuk said he wanted to make the announcement now to avoid distractions during the postseason. The Red Wings clinched a playoff berth for the 25th consecutive season Saturday and will play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference final round, which gives Datsyuk at least 2 more games at the Joe Louis Arena.
And then also on the 10th, down 2-0, the Flyers scored 5 unanswered goals to prevent the Islanders from moving into third place in the Metropolitan Division. They tanked it!
The regular season concluded on Sunday with Chicago Blackhawks forward Patrick Kane capturing his first career Art Ross trophy as the league's scoring champion. Capitals captain Alex Ovechkin claimed his sixth career Maurice Rocket Richard Trophy as the NHL's goal-scoring leader, and Ducks goaltenders Frederik Andersen and John Gibson winning the William M. Jennings Trophy as the goaltenders who play at least 25 games for the club, allowing the fewest goals.
And then yesterday, the 11th, the NHL Stars of the Week ending on 4/10 were announced. The first star was John Tavares, center of the New York Islanders. Tavares led the NHL with 4 goals, 5 assists, and 9 points in 4 games to power the Islanders to 7 out of a possible 10 standings points in the first wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. The second star was Patrick Kane, right winger of the Chicago Blackhawks. Kane shared second in the league with 3 goals, 3 assists, and 6 points in 3 games to guide the Blackhawks to 4 out of a possible 6 standing points in the number 3 seed in the Central Division. And the third star was Alex Ovechkin, the left wing of the Washington Capitals. Ovechkin led the NHL with 5 goals in 3 games, including his 50th of the season, to help the Capitals close their President's Trophy winning campaign with a 1-1-2 record in the final week. That is such a great record to end the week with.
Good thing playoff hockey's up.
Yep.
Ed Snyder, owner of the Philadelphia Flyers since their inception 50 years ago, died Monday at the age of 83. Snyder, one of the most recognizable owners in the NHL, had been battling cancer.
Also on the 11th, Don Mahloney was relieved as general manager of the Arizona Coyotes. The Coyotes were 35-39-8 and finished in fourth place in the Pacific Division, the missed the Stanley Cup playoffs for the fourth consecutive season. The 2015-16 season was Mahloney's 9th as Coyotes general manager. He was named GM of the Year in 2010. The Coyotes announced assistant general managers John Chieka and Chris O'Hearn will manage the hockey operations department until a new general manager is named.
Also on April 11th, some NWHL news. Paige Harrington is the first player to sign a contract with the Buffalo Buttes for the 2016-2017 season. General manager Rick Seeling announced Monday. Harrington and the Buttes agreed to terms on a 1-year, $10,000 contract.
And then today, breaking news this morning, Dave Cameron was fired as the coach of the Ottawa Senators. General manager Pierre Dorion also released assistant coaches Andre Turghini and Rick Walmsley. Assistant coach Jason Smith was relieved of his duties and offered another position within the organization. The Senators finished 5th in the Atlantic Division with 85 points, 11 points behind the Philadelphia Flyers for the second wild card in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Eastern Conference.
Also today in the NWHL, Ashley Johnston and Kiara Dosdell are returning to the New York Riveters for the 2016-2017 NWHL season, general manager Chad Wiseman announced today. Johnston and Dosdell were both logged major minutes on the blue line last year, each signed 1-year contracts worth $13,500.
And with that, we are going to go to break. And when we come back, which I know everyone's going like, wait, it's NHL News and Notes. You're going to break? What? Yeah. We're going on the break because now we got playoff previews to do, and we're going to start with the West right when we come back.
Looking for hockey cards to build your collection or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for your serious hockey fans. Mike here, and I'm going to jump it right over to Haley for the Western Conference first round preview. Haley, take it away.
All right, so first for the Minnesota Wild versus the Dallas Stars. The pride of the North Stars will be on the line in the Western Conference final round series, first round series between the Dallas Stars and the Minnesota Wild. The Stars, who won the Central Division and Western Conference by outlasting the St. Louis Blues down the stretch, are direct descendants of the new defunct Minnesota North Stars, the state's first NHL team. The North Stars relocated to Dallas in 1993 and became the Stars. The Wild, the second wild card from the Western Conference, filled the void left by the North Stars when they joined the league for the 2000-2001 season. The franchises are meeting for the first time in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Stars, 50-23-9 with 109 points, finished 22 points ahead of the Wild, who are 38-33-11 with 87 points. But the season series was far closer. Each team won a game in regulation, Minnesota 2-1 on January 9th, and Dallas 6-3 on December 21st. The other three went to overtime, with the Stars winning all three. But even those results have to be examined through a different prism. John Borchetti took over from Mike Yeo as Wild coach on February 13th, 4 days after the final game of the season series was played. The Wild are 15-11-1 since Torchetti took charge. 5 of the 11 regulation losses were by one goal. For the Wild and the Stars, I'm going to predict the Stars in 5.
I'm going Dallas in 6. I think with Dubnyk, he can definitely steal a game or two. But there are obviously some other big question marks. Obviously, Tyler Seguin is still questionable for the game one for the Stars. There's a lot of question marks around Thomas Vanek for the Wild. He was scratched a lot near the end, and now he's also dealing with injury. The Wild have a good team. They've been playing great under Torchetti. But at the same time, I mean, there's still too many question marks on him. Torchetti's done great, obviously turning him around in the regular season, but can that obviously go into the playoffs? So I'm gonna say Dallas in 6.
All right, we'll see. For the next series, Nashville Predators versus Anaheim Ducks. The Anaheim Ducks may be wondering when they will receive the reward for finishing first in the Pacific Division and second in the Western Conference. The Ducks, by virtue of their success, draw the first wild card in the Western Conference. The Nashville Predators, to start what they hope is a long run in the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs. They avoided their two California rivals, the San Jose Sharks and the Los Angeles, for at least one round. But these wildcard Predators are a true wildcard for the Ducks. Nashville finished 7 points behind Anaheim and outscored it by 10 goals. Travel is also a consideration. While the Kings and Sharks are enjoying a short hop up and down the California coast, the Ducks will be flying 1,800 miles each way and changing time zones twice in each leg of the journey. Also, Nashville had Anaheim's number this season. The Predators won 2 of 3 games, outscoring the Ducks 10-7. I'm going with the Ducks in 6.
I'm going wild card, man. I'm going Nashville in 5. Obviously, travel is going to be not just for the Ducks, but for the Nashville Predators as well. That it'll be a major travel for both teams. But I think, you know, as great as Anaheim has had of the season, even though they had that really bad stretch in the very beginning of the season, big question for me is on Bruce Boudreau, the coach, because, you know, we all saw the meltdown that he had in Game 7 against the Blackhawks in the Western Conference Finals. He didn't know what to do. You know, he had that same problem with the Capitals in the playoffs. He's had that problem in the past with the Ducks in the playoffs. So it's a matter of, can he do it? Whereas with Nashville, they have a coach who's actually won the Stanley Cup and Peter Laviolette. And, you know, when you have your guys, like, you know, with the defense that Nashville has, with a Shea Weber, you know, Kevin Klein's with the Rangers, blanking on the other guys. And then you have the offense that's now clicking in Nashville that they never really had under Trotz when he was there. You know, I think Nashville can be, you know, one of the upsets of the playoffs in the first round. So I say Nashville in 5.
All right, moving on to San Jose Sharks and the Los Angeles Kings. The San Jose Sharks know they will have to exercise all of the ghosts of playoffs past if they're to win the Stanley Cup in 2016. They face their most difficult one in the Western Conference first round, the Los Angeles Kings. The Sharks did not make the postseason in 2015, but in each of the previous 2 years, the Kings put a painful end to San Jose's title dreams. In 2013, the Sharks played the Kings in the second round. The home team won each game. The higher-seeded Kings advanced with a 2-1 victory in Game 7 at Staples Center. It was the 5th one-goal game in one of the most evenly matched series in recent memory. As painful as that loss was, the Kings found a way to inflict even more heartache in 2014. The Sharks took a 3-0 lead in the Western Conference first-round series and were poised to knock off their Southern California rival. Instead, the Kings found life in a 6-3 win in Game 4 and ran the table, outscoring the Sharks 12-2 in the final three games. San Jose won 4 of 5 games during the regular season, outscoring the Kings 18-3, but none of that matters in playoffs, as the Kings have proven twice in the past 3 seasons. For the Sharks, all that matters during the next 2 weeks is being one game better than Los Angeles and putting the curse of the Kings behind them. I'm going to go with the Sharks in 7.
Oh, so you think they break the curse?
I think so. You can only be cursed for so long.
Yeah, tell that to Capitals fans. I got Los Angeles in seven. I think there are too many big question marks on the Sharks. I think also the Sharks need to lose the series as well to get some of those changes that they so desperately need, more so in the GM office, more so on the ice. They have guys like Thornton and Marlowe who, yeah, they're great in the regular season, but they kind of don't show up in the playoffs a lot. So those are big question marks for them, obviously with Joe Ward on the Sharks now, who had proved himself with the Washington Capitals as a big playoff guy. That'll help the Sharks. But at the same time, you look at the Kings, you look at who's on the roster, you look at who's the coach, and you look at what they've done, winning two cups in 5 years, they obviously have a much better experience advantage over the Sharks. So I'm going to have to go with the Kings in seven. It'll go seven because it is two really good teams that are going at it.
Moving on to the Blackhawks and the Blues.
I know you've been waiting for this one.
The St. Louis Blues, who battled the Dallas Stars for the Central Division title and the top seed in the Western Conference until the penultimate day of the season, must get through the Chicago Blackhawks, the defending Stanley Cup champion, to even entertain thoughts about a long run. It was the same situation in the 2014 Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Blues thought they were on their way when they won their first two games, each in overtime. Instead, the Blackhawks won the next four. Two more decided in overtime and were the team to make the long run, losing Game 7 of the Western Conference Final to the Los Angeles Kings. That was a tough loss to watch. The series was a heavy affair with a lot of snarl that occasionally boiled over into something uglier. It also planted the seeds for what has been among the best rivalries in the past three seasons. This season, they played five times, and three of the games were decided after regulation, and another was a one-goal game before an empty net goal. The Blues won the series 3-2. It's anybody's guess what will happen when they meet again in this Western Conference first-round series, but it should be entertaining.
Now, obviously, we have notes that we work off of. Let's be honest. The Blues and the Blackhawks faced each other the last 2 years in the first round. Right? Right. Yeah. The Blues won the first two games in both series, both years. Both in overtime, both the same score. Then Chicago won the next four games, the same score, the same 2 years.
Yeah.
That is some major deja vu right there.
Yeah. That is.
Thinking about that, and you're talking about breaking the curse for the Sharks, what are your full-on thoughts, being the Chicago Blackhawks fan that you are, knowing this rivalry that you do? What is something that you're expecting for this series?
You know what? If I wasn't biased, I might predict the Blues in seven. But I'm going to have to go with the Hawks in seven just because that's what I really hope for. Like you said, with the curse, I do think that it's going to be a battle and it's going to be a fun one to watch, even if you're not a Blues fan or a Hawks fan. But so I'm going to say Hawks in seven, and I'm excited to see how this goes.
Hooray, bias! I'm actually going Chicago in six. I think, honestly, they're only going to miss Keith for the first game. I mean, and then you look at that roster that the Blackhawks have. They have a very stacked roster, and pretty much all these guys have been together winning the Cups together the three Cups in the past 6 years. The Blackhawks are built to actually potentially win a back-to-back. So I think Chicago in six. I don't think it'll happen the same way the last 2 years went. That would be very funny if it did that 3 years in a row with the exact same scores and the exact same results. But yeah, I think Chicago gets it in six and moves on to the second round.
I like that prediction.
You're welcome. And with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll do the East. Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention's right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious talk for the serious hockey fans. This is Haley Williams, and we're going to send it back to Mike for the first round preview of the Eastern Conference.
Thank you, Haley. And we start off with the New York Islanders versus the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers have been one of the most surprising and exciting teams in the NHL this season, led by Jaromir Jagr and using Hollywood actor Kevin Spacey as a focal point. Florida won the second division title in franchise history and is back in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. A team that hasn't won a playoff series since 1995-96, which is when they went to the Cup Finals against Colorado, is suddenly considered a Stanley Cup contender. The New York Islanders, led by 33-goal scorer John Tavares, are trying to end a long postseason drought of their own. They're in the playoffs for the third time in 4 seasons, but haven't won a series since 1993, when the Montreal Canadiens last won the Stanley Cup. There are some historical ties between the two franchises as well. Florida starting goalie Roberto Luongo was picked by the Islanders in the first round, 4th overall, of the 1997 NHL draft and played 24 games with them in the 1999-2000 season before being traded to the Panthers. The last time the Islanders won a playoff round, they did so against Jagr and the Pittsburgh Penguins in the 1993 Patrick Division Final. The ties extend off the ice as well, as defenseman and Hall of Fame member Dennis Potvin, a cornerstone of the Islanders dynasty in the 1980s, is a TV analyst for the Florida Panthers. The Panthers won 2 of the 3 games against the Islanders this season. Honestly, I'm going to really break it down for you right here. The Islanders have too many injuries. Halak is not expected to be back potentially at all this series. Hamonic is probably going to miss part of the series. Their defense is beat up. It just doesn't look good for the Islanders. I expect it to be competitive, but I'm going to say Florida in 7 on this one.
I'm going to agree with Florida, but I'm going to say Florida in 6.
All right. And then next up, we had the Detroit Red Wings versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Eastern Conference first-round series between the Lightning and the Detroit Red Wings last spring was so good that there will be a rematch this April. In the first round last year, the Red Wings took a 3-2 lead in the best-of-seven series, but were outscored 7-2 in the final 2 games. The Lightning used the momentum from that comeback to march all the way to Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals before losing to the Chicago Blackhawks. Haley Williams is right now doing little fist pumps on her end of the Skype conversation. The team split the 4 regular season games in 2015-16, but Lightning won the 2 most recent games, outscoring Detroit 9-3. The Red Wings managed 8 goals in the 4 games against Tampa Bay. My prediction is, I'm going to say, it's kind of tough to say it, but despite missing Stamkos, despite missing Stralman, despite missing Anders Lee, who just got injured recently, despite missing Kucherov, I still think Tampa Bay is going to win this in 6 games. The biggest reason Detroit's really in the playoffs is the surprising rise of 19-year-old Dylan Larkin. Obviously, in news and notes, we talked about it. Pavel Datsyuk has kind of come out and said that he's going to retire at the end of the season to go back to Russia. They claim that's not going to be a distraction. That's going to be a distraction. But at the same time, I think Detroit has too many old legs on that team. They need to get a little bit more younger. But I think Tampa in 6. It's going to be tough for Tampa without some of their key players. Tyler Johnson's another one who just got hurt recently. It's going to be tough, but I think they're going to pull it out. They may not make it past the second round, but I think they pull it out this round against Detroit.
I'm going to go with the Red Wings in 7. You said that Datsyuk's going to be a distraction, but I think it's more going to be motivation because of how much he means to the team, and I think that it'll give them extra motivation to play harder for him.
Fair enough, but at the same time, that it's now even being reported that it's like, oh, well, I could still come back to Detroit next season. So it's kind of like a flip-flop thing that's constantly going on with Datsyuk right now, and I think that's why it's going to be a distraction. It's like, oh, he's going to go to Russia. Oh, no, he's going to stay. It's kind of more like that than more of, we know for a fact, like, it's not like 2 seasons ago when the Rangers traded for Martin St. Louis and then the Rangers stormed to the finals after St. Louis' mother passed away.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see it as the same scenario as like with St. Louis and the Rangers a couple seasons ago. And speaking of the Rangers, what a segue that was. We got the New York Rangers versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. On May 7th, 2014, the Pittsburgh Penguins defeated the Rangers 4-2 at Madison Square Garden in Game 4 of their Eastern Conference second-round series and looked primed to put their division rivals away. However, the Penguins, who lost Game 1 of that series, won 3 straight, outscoring New York 9-2 in those games and seemed on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals, but the Rangers stormed back to win the next 3 games of the series, including a 2-1 victory in Game 7 in Pittsburgh. The Penguins subsequently fired coach Dan Bylsma after the season, and in the 2015 playoffs, the Rangers eliminated the Penguins in five games, giving them a 7-1 record against Pittsburgh in the postseason since Game 4 in 2014. The Penguins appeared to be suffering from the hangover of another playoff ouster at the start of this season, going 15-10-3, resulting in the firing of coach Mike Johnston. But new coach Mike Sullivan, a former Rangers assistant, turned them around, and the Penguins entered the playoffs as one of the hottest teams in the league. Pittsburgh has the best player on its side in Sidney Crosby, who scored 36 goals and had 85 points after a slow start. The Penguins also have a workhorse defenseman, Chris Letang, and speedy forward Carl Hagelin, who finished off Pittsburgh in the 2015 series with an overtime goal in New York in Game 5. But the Rangers have goalie Henrik Lundqvist, who had another stellar season and has won a total of 24 playoff games in the past two seasons. The Rangers are banged up with captain Ryan McDonagh possibly out for at least the start of the series with a hand injury, and fellow defenseman Dan Girardi is questionable, as is center Eric Staal, although it sounds like they will be playing Game 1, who was acquired from the Carolina Hurricanes in a trade on February 28th. I think the Rangers win in 6. Obviously, the Penguins have been on such a hot streak, especially with Malkin out injured, but that's something that's got to keep in mind. Fleury is dealing with his second concussion. Matt Murray, they won't come out and say if he's got a concussion or not, which, if they're being quiet, I think he has a concussion as well, because he got hurt in the last game of the regular season. So they're probably going to have to rely on Jeff Zatkoff if Fleury can't go. After Chris Letang, who do you have on defense for the Pittsburgh Penguins? Trevor Daley? Exactly. And then on offense, you have, Crosby. Malkin's out injured. You got Hagelin, who's doing good, but, eventually they're going to lose that steam, and I think the Rangers are going to win in 6. I think Girardi's going to play. I think Saul will have an impact. The Rangers are built better than the Penguins, in my opinion. So I think the Rangers are going to take it in 6.
Those are good points. I'm going to go with the Penguins in 6.
I hate you. And then, of course, we have the Philadelphia Flyers versus the Washington Capitals, which is going to be the most hostile one in my house, and I'll explain why in a little bit. The Washington Capitals entered the Stanley Cup playoffs as the number one overall seed after finishing with 120 points and winning the President's Trophy for the first time since 2009-10. Boo, President's Trophy. After a slow start under first-year coach Dave Hackstall, the Philadelphia Flyers went 29-6 in 35 games after the All-Star break to earn the second wild card in the playoffs from the Eastern Conference. The Capitals, who were 2-0-2 against the Flyers in the regular season, are hoping for a longer playoff run than the last time they finished with the best record in the NHL, which Washington lost to the Montreal Canadiens in the first round in 7 games in 2010. My heart was broken. It was really broken. I'm predicting the Caps in 5. I expect the Flyers to be competitive. I expect them to get at least one win. I think the Flyers will win their one game in either Game 3 or Game 4. But the Capitals I went over the lineup for the Capitals in the St. Louis game, and I said, this is the lineup that you're going to get. And you heard how I talked about that game, about how they dominated throughout after giving up that first goal from Tarasenko. That's how the Caps, I think, are going to play this series. And if they play that series that way and don't screw around or let their foot off the gas, Flyers, they can be as competitive as they want, but they ain't going to beat the Caps. But I think it'll be Caps in 5. Haley, I'm going to let you do your prediction, then I'm going to explain why it's going to be hostile in my house.
I'm going to agree with the Caps, but I'm going to say it's going to go all 7.
I hate you again.
I know. I was going to try and be a little bit nicer because that's your team, but I couldn't do it.
I hate you. I want the Caps need to win a series in less than 7 games. They have to. They keep going the same. The only time the Caps have not gone to a seven-game series was when Michael Neuver was our number one goaltender, and we beat the Rangers in five games. And I was at that game when they eliminated the Rangers, too. I loved it. And and of course, Michael Neuver was with the Flyers now. And then, of course, the Caps got swept the next round by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the thing is that, you know, the Caps need to win series in less than seven games. Especially in the first round. That first round, you know, our picks have been like six, seven games, you know, for the series. Ideally, in the first round, you want to win your games in the first four to five games. You really do. Because as the later series get on, they get a little longer.
Yeah, your legs.
Yeah, you got to worry about legs. Injuries obviously start piling up. And you know guys play for them. But yeah, I think Caps in five for that. I still hate you for Caps in seven.
As long as they win.
Yeah, exactly. As long as they win. If they win, I'll pat you on the head and go, good, you picked the Caps to win.
Yeah.
Now the reason why it's going to be hostile in my house. Get the popcorn, Haley. My dad's a Flyers fan.
I knew this.
Yes, you did. I can confirm on Thursday for game one, I'll be at my friend Dixon's house. And then game two, he'll be at my place watching the game with me and my dad. My dad has been a Flyers fan since they first came in the league. My dad was like 9 or 10 when they came in the league. And he's obviously very passionate. He gets into the games when, especially when calls aren't getting called. So when I was watching the Flyers Caps game with my dad a couple weeks ago, like the one that we went over on Saturday, I believe, you know, there were a lot of calls that should have been made on both sides, and my dad was just going nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting, like, about 2 feet away from him. So, as I've mentioned on my personal Twitter account, at the Lindenbaum75, if I get thrown through a window, you know why. You know
why. I'm wondering how come you're not a Flyers fan, if you were born into it.
Okay. So, long story short, my dad's from Philly, my mom's from Atlantic City. I was born in Stratford, New Jersey, which is right in the middle. So South Jersey. When I was one, we moved down here to Maryland.
Okay, that makes sense.
So my hometown team has always technically been the Capitals because that's who I grew up with.
I figured it would be something like that.
Yep. Yep. Yay, round of applause.
Yay.
Yeah, I just put in like an audio thing of applause, and then I actually don't put in the audio thing of applause. But, yeah. So, those have been our predictions for the East and the West, our previews for them as well. To start off the playoffs, tomorrow, Wednesday the 13th, you have the Chicago Blackhawks at the St. Louis Blues at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Game 1. Then Thursday the 14th, you have Philadelphia at Washington at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Friday the 15th, you have the Chicago Blackhawks at the St. Louis Blues at 8 p.m. Eastern for their Game 2. And then we will be back Saturday morning, and we will be covering those three games and, of course, do news and notes and give you updates on the other series around the league. And then, of course, that day, the 16th, will be the Caps and Flyers at 7 p.m. that day. That will obviously be on our next episode, which should be Tuesday the 19th. Schedule pending. Right, Haley?
There it is. Yep.
Schedule pending. So, with that, we'd like to thank our sponsor, The Till the Kill in Frederick, Maryland. The Till the Kill Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, comes to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kill Girls. For more on Till the Kill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. Haley, where can the peeps find you? And I'm not talking about those marshmallow peeps that I throw in the microwave and blow up either.
On Twitter, at HeyWillieAthlete, HayWilliAthlete, And on Instagram, Haley Williams Athlete, H-A-Y-L-E-Y, Williams Athlete. Where can we find you, Mike?
Well, on Facebook, you can follow the podcast at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk. And on Twitter, it is at experiencehockey. And I already said where you can find me on Twitter, my personal one, which you can also find on the Experience Hockey Twitter page. Hooray, bios for a reason.
Perfect.
For the record, my last name is spelled LINDENBAUM. The number at the end is 75. If you don't know how to spell Michael, I am so sorry for you. Wow. This is how I end a very long day. But I'm making Haley laugh, so that's how we're going to end the show on a high note like that. So until next time, everyone, we'll see you on the ice.